wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, what if we believe that that was true? God, what if we were people that believe no matter what our circumstances were, no matter what our reality was, no matter what's going on in our lives, that we are loved? And not loved in a conditional way, not loved in a partial way, not loved in a sometimes way, but constantly loved by you. God, even as our world seems fragile, let us hold on to that reality. God, as I speak today, I pray that you would speak through me. Give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understanding. Let our hearts be open to being transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So, it's baseball season. How many people are baseball fans? All right. Some of you. Couple of you. You're like, okay, we got one, maybe. I have to admit, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but being a UVA basketball fan, I'm so grateful that baseball season has started. That this basketball season is over. It's a good thing. We didn't do too well. It's always next year. Grateful for that. Baseball has often been referred to as like America's favorite pastime, right? It's America's sport. When I was in seminary years and years ago, seminary is the school that you go to be a pastor. I actually took my second course I ever took in seminary was church and baseball. And we looked at some of the issues that existed in baseball and issues that existed in the church with money and with racism and things like that. It was a fascinating course. I think the professor just really liked baseball. So I think he wanted to teach a class and I needed to get an extra course out. So I took it. But I heard this story some time ago. The story is actually 10 years old now that I want to share with you about baseball. It happened June 13th. Oh, it's almost 20 years old now, actually. 2004. Matt Starr is the guy who was at Ameriquest Field in Arlington, Texas. He was watching the Rangers take on the Cardinals. And all of a sudden, a foul ball was hit towards where he was sitting. Now, this guy's 28 years old. The foul ball landed right in front of a 4-year-old child. This 28-year-old jumped over the 4-year-old child to grab the ball, cheering, excited that he had gotten the ball. Now, at the same time, the kid's mom, the 4-year-old kid's mom, is taking her thing and going, "Stop it! Stop taking this ball from my son." Now, unfortunately for Star, all of the cameras in the stadium were on him, and everyone saw it. So during one of the breaks, as the ball players had witnessed his actions, the Cardinals outfielder, Reggie Sanders, came into the stands. He gave the boy a bat. Four-year-old had a little more restraint than the adult did. He also got souvenirs from the Rangers, including one signed by Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan. Videos, unfortunately, even at this time, started to spread everywhere of Star's actions. Everybody got to see what happened. So, of course, Good Morning America interviewed the young boy's mother, who called Star a jerk, among many other names. "You trampled a 4-year-old boy to get his ball." And he said, "Oh, well." 4 days later, Star, a former youth minister at a nearby church, expressed sorrow for his behavior. He agreed to send a letter of apology to the boy's family. He indicated that he would give the boy the ball, perhaps it was too late, and he was going to buy tickets for the entire family to a future Rangers game. That was an expensive mistake, wasn't it? Not just expensive financially, but it was an expensive mistake because of what it did. Now, it's easy for me to look at this story and judge this guy. Anybody else? It's easy for me to judge him, but the truth is, we often spend a lot of our lives going after what we want. And we forget this sort of call to serve others. We forget this call to help raise other people up. I started thinking as I heard this story, and as I thought about this story again, when are moments in my life when I have jumped in front of somebody else to get what I want? When I have pushed past somebody else, when I have said, oh, but this is what I'm going for, this is my thing, this is important. We're in a message series we started a couple of weeks ago called Be Well. And in this series, we're actually looking at wellness. We've talked a lot about wellness and health in our community and here in the church, but now we're looking at how do we contribute to the wellness and the health of our greater community? How do we look at the needs of our greater community and say, how do we be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope in this community? How do we go upstream and start to help people? So you may be thinking, Tim, what in the world is what this baseball story, what does this have to do with wellness? When I arrived in this church 3 years ago, we had listening sessions here at Crossroads. We had about 150 people come to meetings where I asked questions, and I said things like, what do you love about your church? I want to know what you love about your church. But I also said, you never ask what do you not like about your church. You say, what do you long for in your church? And one of the greatest longings that people had was getting back reconnected to our local community. COVID had happened, and COVID sort of disconnected us from people. I love talking about COVID as if it was a moment, right? COVID, this big thing, transformed the way people interact in our local community. We were doing things in D.C., and we were doing things in Uganda, and we were doing things in Guatemala. People longed for us not to jump over Ashburn, not to jump over Loudoun County. And it was a resonating thing. We want to serve here in our local community. And we discerned, our team, after time and after doing some work, that we wanted to get deeply more involved in our local community. And you've heard things so much. We talk about now we have all these school partnerships here. We do these things for folks right here in our neighborhoods. And that's really, really important. Well, I remember I was sitting down with our leadership team, and I said this last week. I said, I think we need to look for a 5 to 10 year vision for this church. Who is God calling us to be long-term so that we can lead towards that, so that we can move towards that? If you have a 1 year vision, that's awesome, and we can do incredible things. But if we have a 5 to 10 year vision, we can start pushing hard towards those things. And I said last week, I pulled a team of folks together, and it was a diverse team of folks, and I thought in a couple hours we would come up with a long-term vision for this church. And somebody early on in the meeting said, if we want to serve our local community, why don't we ask our community? And that's what we did. We went out and we met with more than 50 different groups of people, and we asked them things like, what's beautiful about your community? What do you need? What do you long for? But the greatest question, the question that really helped us glean the most information from all of these folks, was this question of what breaks your heart in your community? What frustrates you about your community? What's missing in your community? And I'm going to share today and over these next couple of weeks about what we learned. One of the great things we heard after listening to many social service organizations, and we talked to so many of them, they didn't ask us for money. I really thought they'd ask us for money. I thought they'd say, we need money. They said, the government's throwing out that stuff like crazy. And I said, I know, I just filed my taxes, right? That happening. But instead they said, we need people. We need volunteers. We need more people to come and serve in our communities. They had great need for people in their organization. And I said last week, I used a term, and I'm using it again, we have an embarrassment of riches in Loudoun County because we have an embarrassing number of people. We have needs to serve and volunteers. We have way more people in Loudoun County than there are needs. Yet we're not filling those needs. Because again, sometimes I think we're jumping over to fulfill our need instead of looking at the greater needs. I also think one of the other challenges, we often say that we don't have real financial needs in Loudoun County. And friends, it's simply not true. Ask one of your principals. Ask one of your teachers. Ask folks who do some of this work in the social service organizations. We have a lot of work to be done. Now, here's the interesting thing. What does this have to do with health and wellness? Well, there's a lot of research on volunteering and serving when it comes to health and wellness. I recently found something beautiful from a Bangladeshi poet, Rabindranath Tagore. And this is what he said, I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. Read that again. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted and behold, service was joy. Isn't that beautiful? Serving people brings you joy. Serving people transforms your life. And if that's not enough, let's go to the scripture. Let's go to the Bible. Let me take you to a place where it talks about the early church and early community. It's often used to describe what the inside of the church should be like, but I think we need to look at it to see how we go out and be part of our community. Acts chapter 2, I want to look at 42 to 47 this morning. It says, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community. They devoted themselves to the what? Community. To their shared meals and to their prayers. A sense of awe came over everyone. God performed many wonders and signs through the apostles. All the believers were united and shared everything. They would sell pieces of property and possessions and distribute the proceeds to everyone who needed them. Every day they met together in the temple, ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. The Lord added daily to the community those who were being saved. I love this passage. I love this description of the early church. I was speaking at a conference this last week down in Florida, and this was a passage that I actually happened to use there, not connected to what I'm talking about today. And I said, I am convinced that that last part is added in there intentionally, where it says, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved daily, because they were a community that was worth being added to. Right, so many folks walk into churches and walk into communities that they're just like, man, people here aren't kind. They're not welcoming. They're not gracious. They're not loving. They put all these parameters on relationship. But in this community, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They devoted themselves to one another and to teaching. They shared food. They shared prayers for each other. And it was this togetherness with the greater community that led to this awe that existed in them. It was this togetherness that when they were out in their pods in the greater community, the other people said, yeah, I want to be part of you. I want to be part of what's going on, because they were out. They were engaged with people. They took care of one another. They met together. They spent time together. And in the midst of living amongst the community, God added to their number daily. Isn't that a beautiful picture of community? Isn't that beautiful to think about how we can be among one another and serving the needs of each other? Friends, here's the deal. We have a lot of wonderful social service organizations in Loudoun County. Do you know that? I mean, a lot. We have a lot of incredible organizations that do really beautiful things, and often we don't know about any of them. We don't know that there are these beautiful organizations that are doing powerful things. When we're thinking about wellness in our community, it comes out in two different ways. First, when we serve others, it leads to their wellness, right? When we take care of other people, it brings wellness to them. But the truth is, if we're serving, it leads to wellness in us. It leads to better wellness in us. When we jump over the four-year-old to steal the ball, that doesn't lead to wellness. That leads to Good Morning America. But to get to wellness, we have to take care of others. I don't know if you've heard of the organization NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. They've done a lot of research on ways to walk with mental illness, to walk with the realities in your life and lead to a healthier lifestyle. And they suggest that volunteering has incredible mental health benefits, reduces stress, increases happiness, develops confidence, and helps you find purpose. Spending time serving in organizations, volunteering in organizations combats depression, boosts your own self-confidence, your self-esteem. It can also relieve the rush feeling that many of us experience when our lives get hectic. A Harvard Business Review study said this, and I think this is really important. I found this. Giving your time to others can make you feel more time affluent and less time constrained than wasting your time spending it on yourself, or even getting a windfall of free time. You know, one of the number one things I hear in our area about people not volunteering? I don't have time. But this here says it makes you feel more time affluent. If you want to feel more time affluent, Harvard says, not Tim, Harvard says, volunteer. Get out of yourself. Serve other people. Connect with other people. Volunteering provides a boost to your physical health as well. Depending on your volunteer duties, you can find yourself doing more standing and walking than usual. Those who were here yesterday saw themselves doing more shoveling than usual. You might engage in physical activity, lifting, moving things, construction, assembly, assisting with community gardening. Whatever form it is, exercise is a great health benefit. And when you volunteer with many of our social service organizations, you're doing something. You're setting up something. You're getting something ready. All of these advantages work together to make a healthier you. So again, it's about serving other people. Let's be honest. But it also makes you healthier. Friends, we have to raise this next generation more focused on others than ourselves. We have to. Because if we don't, we are at danger in our society of moving to a culture that's fully focused only on self. We have to raise up this value in others. A study in the Journal of Health and Social Behavior found that volunteer work positively impacts each of the six aspects of well-being: happiness, life, satisfaction, self-esteem, sense of control over life, physical health, and depression. Isn't that all fascinating? When you serve others, it makes you feel better. It's as if maybe we were created to serve other people. It's as if maybe we were made to take care of other people. It's as if maybe we can't be whole unless we're doing something for others. Maybe it's something that's missing in your specific life, where you're going, man, I just need to do something. So it's all fascinating. It's all beautiful. You say, what does this have to do with the 5 to 10 year vision? I had folks stand up last week. I won't do it again this week. But we have a group of folks called the church council here at the church. And it's their job to set the vision for the church, where we're headed. And it's a great leadership team of folks. And they gathered all this data from the other team that received it. And they prayed about it. And they started dreaming, what could we do as a church to become more like the early church, to serve more our local community, to get out and not simply take up real estate in Ashburn, but bring a positive transformation to our community? Out on this wall, it says, transforming the world, one person, one family, one community at a time. Starting right here in Ashburn, Virginia. How do we do that? So the council prayed, and are you ready for this? Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Some of you are like, I don't know. All right, are you ready for it? Yes. I mean, this is very exciting stuff. This is really, really big stuff. It's a different way of thinking. Because there would have been a time when we said there are these social service organizations, let's get a sign-up genius. By the way, sign-up genius. Anyway, all right, social service organization, let's get a sign-up genius, and we'll come in and we'll get people at Crossroads to sign up, and 4 of you will sign up, and it won't make a huge impact. But what if we started a volunteer revolution? Like, seriously, what if we started a movement in Loudoun County to get more and more people volunteering, more and more people beyond just our church? What if we followed the early church model of multiplication, got people out into the community using their gifts? What if instead of us putting a sign-up genius or a piece of paper in the back of the church, we said to people in our church, what are you passionate about? What brings you life? What brings you joy? Okay, you're passionate about this. You're now the leaders of this. You're the Loudoun Hunger Relief leaders. I'll choose an organization. You're the Loudoun Hunger Relief leaders, so your job now is not to come back to Crossroads and recruit people. Your job is to go to your neighborhood. Your job is to go to your coworkers. Your job is to go to people you know and start to build a coalition of volunteering in your community. So I'll give you an example in mine and my wife's life. My wife and I sit on bleachers all the time. I mean, seriously. Like, she's about to head out of town, and I'm like, how am I going to get to all the games and all the things? And I realized that we sit on bleachers with people that we really like, people that we enjoy, people that we talk about the sports with, people that we engage in life with. But you know what I realized I've never done? I've never said to those people on the bleachers, hey, why don't we take our kids and go one Saturday a month and go volunteer together? What if we do that together? My neighbors, My neighbors have this text thread where they want to play poker and they want to do all these things. Not for money, okay, all right. But they want to do these things. And I said, what if one time I sent to the text thread, hey, Susan and I are going here Saturday morning. Who wants to come with us? What if we launched a volunteer revolution in our community? What if we started to change this community? Not to be pockets of people who volunteer, but large swaths of people who volunteer. What if it became the cool thing to do in Loudoun County? What if it became the thing that somebody in your neighborhood said, where are you volunteering? What are you doing? And we were actually able to inspire this piece. So that's really cool. But what if we took it a step further? You may not know that there's an organization in Loudoun County that has a database of a lot of the volunteer opportunities. Now, some of those volunteer opportunities, when you go on there, they're beyond Loudoun County. They're not always, do people respond? Not always do people know how to get there. So we've decided to both partner with that organization and launch an additional thing that would be a database for all the volunteer opportunities in Loudoun County. That we would have an opportunity where if you went to volunteer, you could say, after you volunteered, were they ready for me? This was my experience. This was how it was. And maybe they get stars. They're a 4-star organization. They're a 3-star organization. And you were able to start to send that to your friends and neighbors and say, there are ways you can get involved. And what if you could say, I want to volunteer Thursdays afternoons, and it would pop up all the opportunities for you? Oh, I was telling somebody this story, and they said, oh, you're trying to make volunteering frictionless. Isn't that a great word? Frictionless. Because right now, you know what I hear? I'd love to volunteer, but I don't know where to go. I'd love to serve, but I don't know what I have to do to get there. You know how many times I hear from parents of high schoolers, thank God that high school programs and middle school programs require kids to volunteer. Because we hear from them all the time, we need hours, we need service hours. There were two really strong high school boys at my house yesterday shoveling mulch. Thank God for service hours, okay? So glad that it happened. But what if we didn't live life worrying about getting to our service hours and it became the norm for us? What if it became this thing where adults did service hours not to get some point, but because it was this really cool thing and beautiful thing that transformed your life? What if our church became the catalyst for this all over? I will tell you, there are other churches that are watching us now as we talk about this. Because they said if it works in your community, it might work in our community too. And what a beautiful thing it might be. Friends, we are focused on wellness, not only of ourselves, but in this greater community as well. We're focused on engagement because that's what we say is important to us as a church. We're focused on multiplication because the scripture says that. I want to be one of those communities that God adds to our number daily, not because I want more bums in the seats, but because I believe that that's a community that lives out the gospel. That's a community that lives the way that God is calling us to live in our greater community. What if we started a volunteer revolution? What if our middle schools, high schools, and elementary schools didn't have to beg parents to be volunteers anymore because the community took care of the schools? Because, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not simply supposed to be a reality that if you have a kid in the school, that then you serve. Actually, when schools were originally designed, schools were designed with the whole community supporting them. What if we did that? What if we knew more about, because educated kids are better for the entire community. Amen? Amen. Not just if you have kids in a school. Educated kids who feel they're loved and cared for transform an entire community and make all of us better. So what do I want you to do? I want you to do two things. I want you to continue to pray the prayer that I put out last week. We have some cards out there with it. This is the prayer. It's God of unlimited welcome and love. We long to love the way you love and reach out to those you're calling us towards. Help us to be bold in following your dream for the church and to get out of the way, God, so that you can do what you do. As we draw near to you, come Holy Spirit, encouraging us to connect with and engage one another and the world. Help us to serve our local community as we seek to transform the world, one person, one family, and one community at a time with the unconditional love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that prayer every single morning at 7 a.m. because it is my longing for our church and for our community, and I believe there's power if we all do it. Second thing I want to invite you to do, I want to invite you to sign up for one of these gatherings. Last week, we had 100 people sign up already. That's awesome. We have more than 100 people in this room. I want every single person to sign up to come to one of these gatherings because we're going to show you how we're going to make this happen over the next 5 years. We're going to show you how we're going to go deep. And you, let me tell you, you do not want to miss next Sunday. If you're one of those people that's like, I've done my 2 Sundays this month, don't miss next Sunday, because next Sunday it's going to be the major unveiling. You're going to see it all. But come to one of these gatherings. There's inside your worship guide, there's a piece of paper. If you haven't signed up for one, please do. That way we don't have to call you and say, hey, when are you going to sign up for one? Sign up for one of these gatherings. Come. There's online. They're in person. If you're online, you can go to online ones. They're really beautiful and really, really important. And you're going to hear about this dream in more depth. But as you leave, you can place those with the ushers. They'll receive those on the way out today. Friends, when I started working in a church 20 years ago, I started believing that the church could actually transform the world. And then I'm going to be real honest. Over time, I stopped believing that. Over time, I started to think, well, maybe we can change a little place. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do that. I want to tell you, I'm back to believing the church can transform the world again. But I'm back to believing that because of you. I'm back to believing that because I have seen this church step out in places that I've never seen a church do before. I have seen this church take risks for the sake of the kingdom of God. I have seen this church willing to say, all right, it's a crazy idea, but if it's going to change somebody's life, I'm in. And I have seen this church not step over the 4-year-old boy to take the ball, but to put more 4-year-olds at the ball to receive it. Friends, we can change the world. Raise your hand if you believe this church can change the world. That's pretty good. It's better than baseball, right? That's better than baseball. You can do it, friends. You can change the world. I'm so grateful that I get to do it with you. I'm so grateful for these conversations, these meetings. There's a few of these stickers out there if you want to put. I've seen people put them on their water bottle. Some people got big old phones they're putting them on, right? Like the old school phone, right? People got computers. Put them out there. Put them out there and remind yourself of our calling to bring wellness to our greater community. Amen? Amen. Amen.